Yep, the Chiefs get the season started on Sunday, and here to talk about the Chiefs' 2015 season and their season opener in Houston is a man that you can hear on the Chiefs Radio Network on the home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas City, 96.3 The Lake. He's also the voice of the Missouri State Bears. Art Haynes is with us. Art, how you doing? How are things in Missouri?
Pretty good. Beautiful day in the Ozarks.
Well, what about this season? You feeling pretty good about it going into 2015 on Sunday in Houston?
Yeah, I really am. I think some of the questions have been favorably answered so far as how the preseason has gone. Now, the proof, obviously, is what happens during the regular season. But I think the Chiefs are poised, really, to overtake Denver in the AFC West.
All right. So why do you think the Chiefs are poised to overtake Denver? I mean, that's an interesting comment right off the bat. One of the our news director who works for us, we tried to overlook his flaws. He is a Bronco fan.
Unfortunate.
Yes, it is very unfortunate for us. It was Slim Pickens trying to find a news director, apparently. I'm kidding. but why do you say that with such confidence that you think that this will be the year the Chiefs could overtake the Broncos?
Well, on the one hand, the Chiefs had the number two defense in the league, and I'm not talking about yards allowed. They were seventh in that regard, but they were second in fewest points allowed last year. This is without Derek Johnson, their primary run stopper, and Mike DeVito and Eric Berry for the last six games. Those guys are all back now. Berry in a limited role to begin, but I think the presence of Derek Johnson really shores up what was the biggest weakness the Chiefs had last year, and that was stopping the run, which, by the way, they're really going to need to do against Houston this week. So I think the defense is going to be even better. The addition of some good personnel in the secondary, and Marcus Peters has lived up to expectations in preseason. He's going to start. He may have some growing pains, but at least week one with Sean Smith out, he'll be starting at one of the corners. So I think you start with a very strong defense. The offensive line is the area of the team that is most in flux, and that unfortunately has continued in the preseason, as you know, with the injuries. But now Eric Fisher is back. Interesting move Andy Reid made this week. Fisher moving back to right tackle. Donald Stevenson has played well at left tackle. He's going to go there. The addition of Ben Grubbs from New Orleans, a former Pro Bowler at left guard, I think is huge to anchor the offensive line. So I say that with optimism but not certainty that the offensive line seems to be coming together and the addition of Grubbs will improve it. The fact that Jeff Allen and Zach Fulton, who are former starters, are now backups on the offensive line, I think, speaks to the quality and to the depth. And so then that brings us to moving the ball down the field, and Jeremy Maclin is a big upgrade, in my opinion, on Dwayne Bowe. Now, the question is, who is receiver B, who is receiver C, that will take some of the heat off of Maclin? And I think that's the biggest unanswered question. There are a lot of candidates there. But I think for these reasons that I've mentioned, the Chiefs look good for the year. And Denver has a very strong defense, don't get me wrong. But what we saw toward the end of last year out of their quarterback, I mean, I think his better days are behind him. And I just see them trending slightly downward, although most of the national pundits disagree.
Art Haynes is with us, Chiefs Radio Network. We're breaking down the Chiefs here in 2015, looking ahead to the season opener Sunday and a look at their schedule coming up as well. Let's go to the defense, where I can't disagree with any of the points that you made. On paper, it looks like the Chiefs should be better than they were last year, but there is one big glaring thing that we need to address, and that is the guy in the middle, and that's Dontari Poe, who, from what I heard, is not going to play on Sunday, wasn't in any preseason back surgery. Can you update us on his status and when he might return?
Well, it still looks like it's a game-day decision, probably leaning toward not this week for Poe. So Jay Howard, who's a big guy, is going to step in as he did throughout preseason and anchor that role. I agree, that is a big blow in the middle of that 3-4 defense. Hopefully somewhat mitigated by Derek Johnson returning playing linebacker behind there. Poe should be back, though, sooner rather than later, and I think that's cause for optimism. When a guy has back surgery in mid-July and he's a 320-pound guy to begin with, you worry whether that might be a season-ending injury, but evidently he's come back in pretty good shape, and he'll play early in the season.
How concerned are the Chiefs with Poe in that back surgery? Because he's not, I mean, he's a young guy, even before his prime, already dealing with back issues. And, of course, the position he plays, that's pretty important.
Yeah, it really is. And that is an ongoing concern. It was a serious surgery. You have a herniated disc removed, a discectomy or whatever they call it medically there in July. That is a concern, particularly a guy that plays a position that is so physical. Not that they all aren't in the NFL, but particularly playing nose in the middle of the 3-4 defense. So you just have to hope that that he's going to be back and playing at his previous form. Just last week, I was in Memphis and talking to some of their people, and they shared what was the common thought on Poe coming out of college, that he was kind of lazy and took plays off, and he was really considered a risk when the Chiefs drafted him in the first round 3 years ago, but they obviously had done their due diligence, and he has been anything but that as a player. He's been very productive and just what they wanted him to be, and hopefully he'll physically be able to continue to perform at that level.
Certainly a lot of pressure will be on those young corners, Philip Gaines and, as you mentioned earlier, first-round pick out of Washington, Marcus Peters, and try to hold down the fort till Sean Smith comes back. But they certainly have a lot of potential, a lot of talent, and if they could be lockdown corners or good cover corners, now suddenly that pass rush is going to be that much better because those guys can cover down the field a little bit longer, gives you more time to get to the quarterback. Tom Ballee had a bit of a down year last year. Justin Houston got the huge contract in the offseason. The Chiefs' pass rush, you feel it's going to be better than last year because of what they have in the secondary, about the same? What do you expect to see from Tom Ballee after maybe a disappointing season for him?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's kind of hard to project that Justin Houston's going to get 22 sacks
yeah,
again,
right.
Which was almost a league record. But he got the big contract, as you said, and I think he'll be very productive. I think we're going to see more of Dee Ford, and they made a conscious effort during preseason to really split the reps at the other outside backer spot between Ford and Tomba. Now, I think in the regular season, it's going to go back to the status quo, and Tomba's going to get most of them. But I think Dee Ford will come in there and provide some fresh legs from time to time as these games go on. That, in turn, ought to make Tomba more effective when he's in there. So I don't see the pass rush taking a step back at all. I think that's an integral part of the Chiefs' defensive scheme.
On offense, you mentioned Jeremy Maclin. That gives you a deep threat. Now, there are people in two different camps. There's the Alex Smith camp that says, okay, you got to give him some weapons. He had some weapons in San Francisco, and he did some good things and won some playoff games there. There's the other side of thinking is that it doesn't matter what Alex Smith has. He is trained to dump it off, not take chances, and turn the ball over. Where do you fall on that?
Well, I fall in the latter camp, really. I think, and I thought this his first year in Kansas City, that he's better than I anticipated in terms of his accuracy. But the thing is, he has a risk-averse personality. You look at quarterback ratings, and they really put a lot of stock in interceptions. And people that don't throw very many interceptions are going to have higher quarterback ratings. He doesn't want to turn the ball over. They have really tried in preseason and in the OTAs to get him to take some more calculated risks, not just throw it into a crowd and hope for the best, but maybe throw it in a little tighter window than he's used to doing. Here's the deal. Dwayne Bowe, I think, could get separation, but he just wasn't interested in it. He would rather go out and outfight somebody physically for the ball, and you got a quarterback that's not going to throw it to you if you're covered. That was a bad combination. Jeremy Maclin has the ability and the willingness to get open, to get some separation. So I think you're going to see some more shots downfield, both by design and because guys are going to be open.
Travis Kelce certainly could take some pressure off of Jeremy Maclin. You mentioned who's going to be the B, C, D receivers could help as well. We just don't know who's going to step up. But Travis Kelce last year had a breakout year after missing his first year with injury. Alex Smith usually likes to use, remember Vernon Davis, San Francisco, he likes to go to the tight end. Sometimes the tight end could be your security blanket, although certainly Jamaal Charles may be the biggest security blanket in all of football. But Kelce did have problems holding on to the football last year. I hear that Kelce looked pretty good in camp. Preseason looked all right. Your thoughts on Kelce going in this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the proof is in, obviously, repeating his performance of last year, if not improving, but he's potentially going in one of the three or four top receiving threats at tight end in the league. And the Chiefs, throughout all the Tony Gonzalez years, and Kelce is not near to that point yet and maybe never will be, but obviously used a tight end really as a main receiving target like a lot of teams would use a wide receiver. So, I mean, I think that to some degree addresses the wide receiver situation. You upgrade from Bo to Macklin, you've got Kelsey back, so now there's two, and then out of the group of Albert Wilson, DeAnthony Thomas, obviously the X factor, what do you do with him, and then the veteran Jason Avant, you hope you develop a third threat there in the passing game.
I had someone ask me this the other day, and I'll just go ahead and pass the buck and hand the question off to you. Jamaal Charles, running backs get to a point where they can fall off a cliff. We've seen it, Larry Johnson and Chris Johnson, many other running backs, that's happened. With Jamaal Charles, he's been nicked up. He's had some injuries, of course, missed the almost entire season with torn ACL. He came back from that. And we talked about last year when we had you on the show about limiting some of his workload so that he's fresh down the stretch. But the question that was asked to me that I'll pass to you is, how confident or comfortable, and I'm sure they're not that comfortable when you if you would lose a Jamaal Charles, but let's say he has an injury that takes him out of a few games, significant period of time, how comfortable or confident are the Chiefs with what they have behind Jamaal Charles in the backfield?
Well, that would be a game changer, obviously. Yeah. Now, Nile Davis would start for a lot of teams. If he were on the Houston Texans with Arian Foster out, he'd be starting against the Chiefs on Sunday. So he is an adequate backup, I'd say more than adequate. And Charkhandrick West showed some good things in preseason too. But Jamaal Charles is a special player, so that would make a huge difference on a team that wants to be balanced. I mean, you got a coach that likes to throw the ball, but you've got one of the best backs in the league when healthy in Jamaal Charles. So balance is the key, and I think that balance would be disrupted if Charles isn't there. Now, he's 28, and you're right. He's at the age that running backs sometimes hit the wall. So I think as such, they're going to use Davis more, they're going to throw more, they're going to be creative and try to limit his touches for greater efficiency. Hopefully he is able to stay healthy and get more bang for the buck, so to speak, out of the touches that he gets.
Okay, special teams. Sometimes it's overlooked by the regular football fan, and that is you focus on Macklin. Okay, we got a deep threat, and Kelsey, and we got Charles, and so forth and so on. Derek Johnson is back, and we're going to get Poe back when he's healthy, and we've got Justin Houston. But special teams, the Chiefs have been pretty good in that area. This year, there's the rule change. Extra points have been moved back. I don't know how much that's going to impact the league going for two more often when you move back the extra point. That's certainly part of special teams. Also, the return and coverage units are part of that as well. How the Chiefs shape up in the special teams area?
Well, very good. I mean, one of the top special teams units in the league, Dustin Colquitt certainly is almost without peer as a consistent punter. They made a change at long snapper, which is a subtle change, but Thomas Gafford had been there for 7 years, and then James Winchester from OU won that position, and that looked fine in training camp. There was a competition, and Winchester won out over Andrew East from Vanderbilt. Santos worries me just a little bit. I mean, he missed an extra point from the longer distance, and you think, well, big deal, preseason. But there are going to be some missed extra points this year from 33 yards out. I mean, that's still about a 95% success rate in the league. But even so, okay, that's 5%. It was 99% from the previous distance. So that's going to result in some games being swung in the balance on missed extra points. And hopefully Santos can be consistent in that regard. As far as kick return is concerned, I mean, Nile Davis, kickoff return, has a couple of hundred-plus yard returns in his career. And then DeAnthony Thomas has got a chance, I think, really to make a difference in punt returns. So the return game part is good. The punting part is good. Santos has been really pretty accurate as far as his field goals are concerned. But I'm in the back of my mind, I'm a little concerned about a missed extra point at the worst possible time. And I think a lot of teams will share that concern. It'll jump up and bite some people this year.
Now, I agree with you. And you look at the fine line between 9-7 and 10-6, or 10-6 and 11-5, or 8-8, 9-7. That could put you in the playoffs. As the Chiefs last year lost on tiebreakers, didn't make the playoffs with a 9-7 record. One missed extra point, whether it's week 2 or week 8, could change the complexion of a game and cost you a shot at the playoffs.
Well, and last year, you're right, and the game, really, the opener with Tennessee, what a terrible performance at home against a team that ended up winning only one more game. That really is the game that kept the Chiefs out of the playoffs.
Yep.
Now, Houston is a much better opponent, and they'll be playing at home, fortunately without Arian Foster and really without a marquee quarterback. Brian Hoyer, of course, is going to be the guy, the talented but volatile Ryan Mallett is his backup. I think from a standpoint of stopping the Oilers, I mean, they ran the ball. Oilers. Stop. There I date myself. Stopping the Texans, they're going to want to run the ball. That they ran it 34 times a game last year, which was the most in the NFL, but they don't have their feature back. This could be a low-scoring, old-fashioned 17-14 kind of game. I am concerned about without Dontari Poe, if the Chiefs are going to be able to stop the run. But I had Mitch on my show last night, and he said not just stop the run, they need to blow up the run this week. I mean, lost yardage plays and really make Brian Hoyer beat them, which he's probably incapable of doing. So, I mean, I think the Chiefs win in a hard-hitting shootout kind of game this week.
You know, I've talked to various Chiefs fans of mine, and this seems to be the thinking. I don't know what you're hearing down in your area that are the Chiefs faithful, but what I'm hearing is we're going to beat Denver on Thursday night, and that's great and all, but you got a game before that. And
yep.
Houston, I mean, last year I was there watching a horrible performance by the Chiefs, complete, just a really disappointing performance when you consider Andy Reid had plenty of time to prepare for the season opener at home, laid a big fat egg against a team that ended up being really, really bad. As you said, Houston's much better. Plus, this is on the road. Houston has a really good defense led by J.J. Watt. They got Vince Wilfork from the Patriots to clog up the middle. I mean, and if their quarterback doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and of course, the key, as you said, running game for Houston, and they don't have Foster. But this game is not going to be easy, and it seems like a lot of my friends who are Chiefs fans are just chalking this up as 1-0 going into the game on Thursday night against Denver. I sure hope that I'm sure the Chiefs aren't looking past Houston, but man, there seems to be a lot of people just thinks this is going to be a cakewalk for some reason.
Yeah, they're I hope they're right, but I think they're sadly mistaken, and I understand the enthusiasm about the home opener Thursday night football with Denver. It'll be electric. Those are the kind of games the Chiefs have won in recent years, not against Denver necessarily all the time, but I hearken back to that opener on Monday night against San Diego in 2010 when that set the tone for the season and they won the AFC West, and I could foresee that possibly happening. It's a game they need to win in order to kind of throw a shot across the bow of Denver that they're going to be there to win the division. But you're right, they got to win this game first. Game three, obviously, is a Monday nighter at Green Bay, which will be a very difficult game to win. So it's a tough schedule to start out, and it needs to start with a victory this Sunday, and it won't be easy.
Okay, so let's talk about that schedule. You mentioned it at Houston, then you got the short week, and then you have your home opener against the Broncos. The Chiefs have not beaten Peyton Manning since he's been with the Broncos, no matter where it's been. At the Packers, even without Jordy Nelson, they're going to be tough, always tough at Lambeau, and at Cincinnati. That is a very difficult four-game stretch to start the season, and on top of that, they lose a home game because they're going to London to take on the Lions later in the year. To me, the first half of the schedule looks really daunting. You got the Steelers also there at home, and then the second half, it loosens up a little bit. But, I mean, every game is important, so I know it's a silly question. How important is this one game? But, I mean, if the Chiefs, if they go out and lay an egg like did the start last year, and they haven't been able to beat the Broncos, so a lot of people are going to pick the Broncos to win that game. If they start 0-2 and they got to go on the road to the Packers and the Bengals, they're in a deep hole.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, if they don't win this game Sunday, they could easily start 0-4.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to, but you're right. I mean, Texans, Packers, Bengals, those are three quality opponents on the road, and Broncos at home. So this game is vitally important to take off some pressure going forward.
So when you look at the Chiefs' schedule, and assuming that the Chiefs stay healthy, which that's what you always assume when you try to make predictions, you said you thought they could challenge the Broncos for the AFC West. What is your prediction today for the Chiefs? What's their record? Do they make the playoffs, win the division, wild card? What do you think?
10-6, win the division.
10-6, win the division. So you think the Broncos are going to drop to at least 10-6?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. All right.
Play the same schedule, except for two games.
That's true.
And I do. I think Denver is is going to fall off a little bit this year.
So if Denver's 10-6, the Chiefs are 10-6. That means the Chiefs better have at least split their meetings with the Broncos.
Correct.
Yeah. At least they did. All right, the off the wall question for you, Art. I know this is from Derek Nestor. He told me to ask you this. I'm sure you probably know it's
coming. And Derek is my foil in the Chiefs Radio Network Fantasy Football League, by the way.
Yes, and that's the question. It's amazing that you could see into the future. He says,
yes.
Make sure to ask Art about fantasy football and how he lost the championship 2 years ago. So,
well, I'll as the new Missouri State coach Dave Steckel sometimes does, I'll answer a question with a question. and you might ask Derek how he lost the championship game to me last year.
Is that convenient memory, isn't it?
I mean, that's unbelievable that we've been in the finals against each other 2 years in a row, and we've split.
So this year's the rubber match, is what you're telling me.
I guess so. And the other teams in the league might think they have something to say about it, but Derek and I know better.
How many people compete in that league?
Well, this year we're down to 8. Last year we had 10. So with 8, everybody's got pretty stacked rosters. And you know, Mitch doesn't play. Lynn, you know, doesn't know how to turn on a computer. But Dan Israel, our producer, who was just such a poo-pooer of fantasy football up until last year, we shamed him into getting involved, and now he's one of the more active participants. I mean, he's all over it, like he does everything he does. So we do have a convert in Dan Israel.
You sucked him in. I see. Final question for you, your Super Bowl prediction. Who plays who and who wins it all for Super Bowl 50?
Boy. You know, I haven't really locked that down yet. It's hard not to pick Seattle. I mean, a lot of people are picking Green Bay just for different reasons. I mean, by that, it's rare for a team to make the Super Bowl 3 years in a row. I guess maybe Buffalo is the last one that did so. But
they were.
I'm going to pick Seattle and Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. The Colts have been taking one step closer with Andrew Luck year in and year out, and that would be the next step for them to make the Super Bowl. Hey, Art, we always enjoy talking to you, talking Chiefs football. Hopefully we can do it again later on the season. The Chiefs are about ready to wrap up the AFC West. That'd be a nice conversation. Have a great job. Do a great job. I know you always do. Have a great time down in Houston, and we'll be listening on Z96.3.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
That's Art Haynes joining us today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs.